All right. The title of our message tonight is Our Help in Time of Need. If you've been a Christian for very long, you know that trouble and persecution is going to be a part of your life, just as it was for Christ. If you're trying to do something for the Lord, Satan's going to be close at hand, waiting to launch his attack. And it will be his desire to discourage you from serving God. And it works many, many times on many, many people. They get discouraged. And this attack can come from any form. When Satan comes, attacks, it will, when you're working for the Lord, we need to rejoice. God says we need to rejoice. Because we're going to be blessed, we can look forward to great rewards in heaven. If you look at Matthew 5, 11 and 12, Matthew 5, 11 and 12, here's a promise that we need to rejoice when we're persecuted. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You see, during these times that we're living in today, troubles in our life, God still promises to always be with us. And if you and I expect his help through these times, you and I must be willing to trust him completely, trust his ability to help in any way he sees fit. May not be the way we want to see it, but any way he sees fit. After all, he created the universe. He's able to control the universe. And I think he can take care of climate change. I really, really think he can. I think since he can trade, he's got a thermostat there. If he wants to turn it up or if he wants to turn it down, that's fine. But this evening I want to go to one of my favorite psalms, and it's Psalm 46, 1 through 11. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. When we looking for encouragement, the Psalm 46 is an amazing passage. It's an amazing psalm. If you're at Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh a bow. He cutteth asunder the spear asunder, and burneth the chariot in the fire. Here's one of my favorite verses. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord, for the many blessings. I thank you for Josh and Wes being here tonight, Lord, and I pray for their safe travel mercies back tomorrow. And Lord, we ask that you would be with Daryl and Art now as they're in the hospital and rest home, Lord. We just pray that you would be with them. Be with the Pages tonight. Be with the Hewitt kids as they're in college. We give you the praise that Justin got his job back and his money back. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that for everyone here tonight, they might have unspoken requests, maybe an unsaved family member. I pray for each and every one. I pray for our country and its leaders tonight, Lord. And I also ask that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and I'll give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Now, we all have, at one time or the other in our lives, encountered a situation where we thought God has just forgotten us. As we become more familiar with the Word of God, we are given assurance that that's never the case, folks. It's never the case. Since we have a loving God that cannot lie, He's made us a promise that He'll always be with us. This means He's there with us in the good times, He's there with us in the bad times, and He's there with in the middle of the road times. He is not a part-time God. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. If you're there in Isaiah 40, beginning verse 48, hath thou not known, hath thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You see, God never takes a nap. I have to take a nap every Sunday afternoon. God never takes a nap. He never goes to bed. 24/7, we can go to Christ. Yet I've seen many Christians quit serving God and turning their backs on Him, on His promise to help. They simply allow Satan constant harassment, and you and I both know Satan is very good at harassment. He can just wear you down to a frazzle if we allow him to do that. But you see, we have a God that even knows the number of hairs that's on our head. And I know that he don't have to count so high with me anymore, but, you know, that's all right. He knows exactly how many I got. And the fact that God is always with us and in us is verified throughout the Bible. So when we feel that he is not with us, you know what? We must wonder why. Why is that? Why in the world do you suppose that we would feel God's not with us? Do we think God's lied to us? When asking this question, I'm going to say there are some things that we as Christians need to consider. Number one, are we walking in a godly way in our lives? Number two, are we reading God's Word and following the principles therein? Are we attending church when the doors are open? Are we giving God His share of the money? Are we tithing? If not, of course, we all know we're robbing God. Are you giving your offerings to missions? We're commanded to give our tithes and our offerings. And here's one. Do y'all have a secret little sin somewhere? Just a secret little sin that only you know about. That's not true. If nobody else in this world knows, it's still you and God know. You and God know. Many people think they can do some things God says is right while continuing to do the things that the world says is right. They waver between God and the world, whichever and whenever it fits their thinking. That, my brother, will never work. God calls that being double-minded and unstable. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot walk the fence between God and the world. God says, pray all you want. If you want to be in the world, pray all you want. You're told that you will see nothing, nada, zilch, a big fat zero is what you're going to have. Look at James. Turn there if you will with me. And I'm sorry we don't have pew Bibles. We're waiting on them too, so I guess I should have given you guys a couple Bibles before we came. Sorry about that. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but let them ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen to this. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So when we're talking about a man that wants to live for the Lord and live in the world, that's a double-minded man. James goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 4, that if we are a participant in these sinful things of the world, then we are an enemy of God. Now, to me, that's a very scary thing. I mean, there's enemies and then there's enemies. And I certainly do not want to be the enemy of God. And look at verse 4 of James 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now that's being at war with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You see, in this particular case, you know, we look at adulterers and adulteresses in a different way. But in this case, it doesn't mean anything about having a relationship with somebody while we're married. What it means is that we as Christians, we're actually already in contract. We're already married. We've given our prenups. I think that's the right word. In other words, I said, okay, you know, I do. But what it means is that when a Christian plays around with the world, cuddles up to the world, we are in adultery for Christ. I mean, we're in adultery by messing with the world. So anytime we cuddle up with the things of Christ's enemy, Satan says, the Bible says we are committing adultery against the marriage of Christ. Now, if you're doing these things, of course, God will feel distance from you. He will, and your prayers will go unanswered. In 1 Peter 3:12, God tells us that he only takes care of the righteous. Now, not saying, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and God loves absolutely everybody that he ever created, and he wants them all to be saved. But if you look at 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, way too many people just really don't understand what the word evil means to God. To us, evil is something that's revolting in our eyes. Like some of these, whatever they are, weirdos, you know. To us, that's evil. It's evil for that guy to go into that school and shoot those 17 kids. That's an evil, evil thing. But you know, on the other hand, while the liberals are complaining about 17 deaths, what about the 60 million that we've killed in abortion? They don't have a problem with that. I have more of a problem with the abortion of the innocent blood than I do those 17. Not that I don't feel bad for the 17. I hate that it happens, and I think there ought to be a way that we can stop a lot of that kind of stuff. But we need to really feel sorry for those 60 million or so babies that we've killed. They never got to see the light of day. But we have to understand that evil in God's eyes is anything that doesn't glorify him. If we're doing something that does not glorify God, chances are pretty good it's an evil thing. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Now here's one, folks. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Now every one of us sitting here tonight, we all know there's some good things we need to do. And a lot of times those good things we don't follow up on. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But see, that in God's eyes, that's sin. That's sin. But we have to understand God really has never left us. But we need to be careful to the fact and have the knowledge to know, or have the wisdom to know, that he's not going to help us do something that's in contradiction to his word. It doesn't matter. If we go ahead and do it ourselves, we can go ahead and do a lot of things on our own. But God's not going to bless it. God is not going to help us. But you see, God's always there for the righteous person. See, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now that doesn't mean you're sinless. Does not mean that at all, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a righteous life that we can be living. And God does not make a promise to be there for those, I mean, he does make a promise to be there for those that are serving him. Even though it may not turn out the way we would have liked, you have to understand, and I know we've all prayed about certain things, and sometimes it just didn't happen, or sometimes something else happens. Well, you know, Abraham waited 20 years for his prayer to be answered, but he didn't wait. That's why we have all the problems in the Middle East, because he didn't wait on the Lord. Had he waited on the Lord, Isaac would have been the only one. We wouldn't have had Esau. We wouldn't have had the wild people. But that's men. Look at our text for tonight. We're going to start in our text real quickly. In Psalm 46:1, we see three ways God promises to help. Psalm 46, verse 1. We see that we can call on him for a safety net when we're in trouble. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means he's there when we need him. That doesn't mean we have to wait till tomorrow. He's there when we need him. We can draw our strength from him when we're in trouble. And God is our refuge and strength. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That simply means all things. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it a couple of hundred times more, but the word can't should not be in the Christian's dictionary, should not be in his vocabulary, because God says you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, we know that strength comes from God himself, and there's no power that can come close to equaling God's strength. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Not just a little bit of power, not just some power, not a power over this town or that town, a power, all power. And he says he will help us, very present help in trouble. We have a God that was willing to give his only son, willing to let Christ die on the cross for you and I. Not a one of us sitting here tonight deserves to be saved from the fires of hell. If it was not for Christ dying on that cross, shedding his blood, you and I would be headed for the fires of hell. His resurrection, of course, we know sealed that new covenant. That put the zipper on it. That we now, the new covenant, under the new covenant. And you understand, if he's willing to do that, he's also willing to be there for you and I when we need him. He's willing to be there for those that are faithful to him. I'll just read you Romans 8:31 and 30 through 33. It says, what shall we say then? Or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's that power again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, if it is God that justifies? You see, even that old snake Satan, one day, he's going to bow that long, ugly head of his. He's going to bow that before Christ. And he's going to profess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Look at Philippians 2:10 and 11. There is nobody that is not going to stand before God and give an account. And here it says that at the end in Philippians, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, of the things of the earth, and here's old Satan and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, as Christians, we're children of God, and we should never be afraid. We should not be afraid. even if the earth sometimes just seems like it's just gone crazy on us. Look at Psalm 46, 2 and 3. It says, therefore will we fear not, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried off in the midst of the sea, though little rocket man shoots a missile at us, rather those Russians who claim they have this missile that we can't stop. You know what? I don't worry about that stuff. You know, because God still has his finger on that. And it says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. We have that all over the world. We have these wars going on all over the world. In Syria, they're killing their own people by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. And that's amazing. But you see, we all, you and I as Christians, we have a place we can go. If we take our troubles to God, he promises what? To be a refuge. He promises to be our strength. And he promises to help us when we get ourselves into trouble. And you, we all understand that generally it's us that get ourselves into trouble. You know, when I figure something's gone wrong, I look in the mirror and I'm pretty sure I know who caused it. It's that guy looking back at me. Even though it seems like our world is coming to an end. It says, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Here's our promise, folks. Here's a promise for the Christian. There is a river. You know that river of life that flows through the kingdom of God? Says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And God is there in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Nobody's going to move heaven. God shall help her in that right early. You see, God's still on his throne. And what's great about that is we have an open door to him. We can be as close to God as we want without being in physical contact. When Jesus died on that cross, that separation of that veil, torn right down the middle, that opened the door for you and I to converse with God one-on-one. You see, when Adam sinned, we lost that. We lost that Spirit of God. When we got saved, we now have the Spirit of God in us. We still have that old nature that you and I fight day after day after month after year after years. We fight it. But if we're filled with the, if we allow ourselves to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, allow that Holy Spirit to work, that's what Christ died for. You see, I'm just going to read you that in Matthew 27, 15, 51. What took place when Jesus hanging on that cross. And when he had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. You see, when that separation was taken away, we now can come boldly unto the throne of God. You and I don't have to worry about going through a priest. We don't have to worry about going through a preacher. We can just get on our knees anywhere we're at and we can get in contact with our Lord. Hebrews 14:6 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's another promise, folks, that he's going to be there. And once again, like I said before, it's open 24 hours, 24/7, 365 days a year, 366 in leap year. He's always there, okay? And we need to have faith that whatever he does is right. And the fact that he will be there for us. He doesn't want us to fear anything. Look at Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Now just let me read it to you. It's in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation, that conversation means your way of life, how you live your life. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. In other words, don't We don't need all those worldly things. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. There we go again, nor forsake thee. What more could a person ask for? Again, we're told we can depend on him for help. Hebrews 13:6. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Little Rocket Man can't hurt us. Putin can't hurt us. I mean, he may put us in heaven, and that's great with me. You know, that's the worst he can do to me. He also adds that he wants us to be content with his men. He wants us to pray for his leaders. If we look on down to Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then here's, I got a lot of favorite verses, by the way, Josh. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can want all you want for him to change. You can pray all you want to change your mind. I had this guy in my first church I pastored. He got mad at me. I have a way of being a little bullheaded, you know, and kind of, I didn't. Anyhow, he was the old pastor's nephew, and he thought he was in charge of everything. Well, I started Faith Promise. They never had Faith Promise. He came to him, and he says, well, he says, John, he forgot there was supposed to be a pastor on the front of that, but he says, John, I'm going to tell you this. I prayed, and God said it was all right if I don't tithe. I says, Charlie, who do you think you are that can change God's mind? God says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can talk all you want and you're not going to change God's mind. But he honestly, and as far as I know, he didn't. As far as I know, he didn't. I don't know. But anyhow, if you're willing to trust God in all things, not just some, well, let the unsaved and the murmurers complain as much as they want. Nothing's going to be changed. Psalm 46:6 through 11 says, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Once again, Little Rocket Man. And those clowns over there in Iraq and Syria. Mr. Putin. Let me tell you, you can rage all you want. And God can take the back of his hand and smack you silly. Says the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. One day he will melt this earth. And here we go again. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's 41:7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's that promise. He's still with us. And then in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. And as we finish up in this psalm. Now, I'm not supposed to say this. My wife always gets upset, but she's back in the nursery tonight. So, if you look at verse 10, it says, be still. Now, I generally say, just shut up. Shut up and listen. And know that I am God. Now, I know that's not kosher. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the earth. God's going to be exalted. And I don't care what anybody says. Nothing is going to stop that. And then in our last verse tonight, the Lord of hosts is where? He's with us. That's what it says. The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So my question is tonight, do you feel God's present close to you? Are we doing the things that we ought to do? Because we should feel him. We should know. We should know that he's there. We should know. And we can't hide, folks. We try and hide. He knows right where you're at. He'll help us when we get ourselves into trouble. He's going to give us strength. But there are some folks that God is not going to be there for. And that is those folks that do not know him as their personal Savior. If you're here this evening, you can never remember a time that you realized that you were a sinner headed for the fires of hell. If you did, and you repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you, then ask Christ to come into your heart and save you and make him the Lord of your life. And you're willing to repent, you're willing to do your best, then that's all there is to it. Just pray to God, ask him to come into your heart, and pray in the name of Jesus. It's simple. People want to make a big deal out of it. People want to make you have to work, make you do this, make you do that, make you do this. No, it's very simple. Ask. Whosoever asks, shall be